Chairman and committee members, I thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Burrell. I'd like to go next to Fairbanks. We are running out of time. Ms. Rose Robicek.
Thank you, Chairman Davidson. Committee members, my name is Rose Robicek, and I'll try to be very brief. I agree with Mr. Burrell that the first draft of these regulations went far in excess of the intent of the legislature. I believe that the current regulation has driven to satisfy the intent of the legislation. And the one thing that we have to be very careful of is that they do not exceed what the legislative intent was. You've heard testimony from several different sides of this issue. You've heard that the industry is very healthy. I would point out that about 10 years ago, there were 1,000 master miners or more, and today there are about 200. That isn't really very healthy. The reason given that for the comment that the industry was healthy was based upon the gold production. If you look at where the gold was produced from, you'll see it came from several large corporations and companies, including Greens Creek. I would stress that all mining sites are different, and that the size of the operators and the operations are different, and we must have as much flexibility as possible built into these regulations. My main concern with the regulations and with the legislation when it was passing was how it applied to private lands. And I will continue to follow these regulations as they work their way through the public process. Thank you very much for the opportunity to comment today.
Thank you, Ms. Robicek. Mr. Mike Music, are you there, Mike?
Yes, sir. My name is Mike Music. I live in Esther, Alaska. My primary way of making a living is as a general contractor. I'm also on the board of directors of Common Ground, Alaska. I think that you folks have made great strides in trying to reconcile the differences between the mining community and the environmental community. I commend you for this, and I hope that you keep up the good work. There's one aspect of the regulations that I had some questions about, and it's been addressed before, so I won't be very long at that. I'm wondering about how you established the $750 per acre upper limit. As I understand it, the BLM has a process whereby they contact some local contractors, if indeed there are any in the neighborhood, to go out and make a general assessment of what it may cost to perform reclamation on any given project. And they use that as some sort of logical basis on which to base a bonding requirement. This may or may not be a better way to go, but it's something I think we should look at. Other than that, keep up the good work. Thank you.
Mr. Music, thank you very much. I'm going to have Mr. Peterson call you or contact you on your question. And sorry, we don't have time to give you an answer right now, but Mr. Peterson will get in touch with you. Larry Landry, are you there, Larry?
Yes, I am. I'm Larry Landry with the Northern Alaska Environmental Center. I'd like to start out by recalling the unparalleled cooperation which led to passage of the reclamation statute last year. The industry, environmentalists, Native groups and agencies all hammered out an agreement which none loved and all could live with. DNR initially followed that spirit in developing the regulations. The discussion draft that DNR circulated in November was an excellent way to go about. Everybody had a chance to comment on them, and everybody had a chance to see them. The regulations themselves were not perfect, but they tried to strike a real balance. Thus, we were very surprised and disappointed to see the second set of regulations in Fairbanks in February. They weakened or eliminated much of the first draft and many of the key provisions of any solid reclamation program, and we feel that it really misses the intent of the legislation and is a real step backward. I won't go into details on any of the specifics we have. Some people have talked about those already, and I've submitted some additional written comments for the record. Reclamation standards, performance standards, standards for mining operations were all severely weakened or eliminated in the second draft, and we think they also need to be reinstated and strengthened. The reclamation standard in particular is very important. Part of last year's compromise in reaching the present language was that it would be fleshed out in the regulation. And right now in the second draft, it is not fleshed out. I think that's real important that that language be reinstated. The second draft also beginning and a heartening opportunity here, an opportunity for all sides to work together to reach a resolution to this sticky issue. This latest set of regulations could reopen the divisiveness, and I think that'd be a real shame. There are good, reasonable people on all sides of this issue, and they've shown through the statute last year that they can sit down and strike a real balance. DNR should facilitate this process. So I would urge the House Resources Committee to give DNR a little pat on the back, tell them they've made a good start. They should essentially take one step backwards and redouble their efforts to build a real consensus process here. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Landry. Donald Stein, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here. Mr. Davidson, commenting on these regulations. Particularly, I'd like to comment on the cost involved in these regulations. Since 1979-1980, when we had about 1,000 operations, we've had regulatory things put into our permits by EPA and DEC ever since. Every year, and I mean every year, there's new stipulations put into the mining permits. And every year, the cost of mining goes up. This year, this is just an example. Are you changing it? Okay. Sorry about that. This year, in my permit alone, I've had several new additions into my permit on reclamation. And new additions into my permit parallel what you're trying to put into this bill. And that bill isn't even into effect yet, but I already have that written into my permit. I didn't have it last year, but I've got it this year. And that's going to, I had planned on doing reclamation, and I'm already doing some reclamation on my property. But the degree of reclamation that they're writing in my bill was something into my permit. It was something I had really planned on. It's going to amount to increased cost. Let me give you an example of cost. The regulation that was written in on groundwater last year, on which the miners had no input, cost me $10,000 to implement. $10,000. Now, for a small miner like me, that's a lot of money. And it almost puts you on physics, the amount of money. But then when you come down to reclamation and you realize the nebulous quality in reclamation where somebody can go out on your property and say, hey, that can be done better. You might think you've done a good job on reclamation, but somebody can come along and say, that's not good enough. You've got to do it better. And you've got to fight them right on down the line to hearings and court and everything else to say you've done a good enough job, and they say you haven't. This costs a lot of money. Reclamation costs a lot of money in itself. And this is what's driving the industry out of business. 80% of the mining industry has been driven out of business since 1980. And you've got to bear that in mind, and it's the increased cost every year, just like you're putting on now. It's like it's nothing, you know. There's nothing involved in it, no cost. Well, there is cost involved, and the mining ground can only bear so much cost. And as soon as that's reached, you're out of business. And I beg you guys to please pay attention on these regulations. Don't increase the cost to the miner. It is going to drive them out of business. And I'm afraid that's just what you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stein. I would ask that you would write us a letter and demonstrate in your letter how these regulations will increase costs for you over and above what you already have in your permit. If you do that, I'd appreciate it, Mr. Stein. Ms. Lisa Jaeger, you're next, and I must remind the remaining people who wish to give testimony, we are running out of time, so if you could summarize your remarks, it would be most appreciated. Ms. Jaeger? Jaeger? Ms. Jaeger?
John May. Okay, thank you. Do you recognize me, Mr. Chairman?
Well, I recognize you unless Ms. Jaeger is there. Is she there?
No, they say she's not here. Mr. Chairman, committee members, I wish to thank you very much for this opportunity. My name is Don May. president of Polar Mining here in Fairbanks, Alaska. I want to say I certainly agree with Mr. Stein, who just testified about the increased mining costs to the mining companies that are being able to survive these past years. Now, I have to be one of four that met with Common Ground this past winter. For 7 months, we had seven meetings, and it was more or less us versus them. We had time to bring out our various concerns on both sides. I feel moved for the people in the Esther area because they've come right in next to mining property there. And there's a lot of mining ground that will be developed one of these days. And it's like the people who moved in next to the airport and then want to stop the airport. Anyway, I want to say that the mining community is being hit with a double change this year, which is very costly to us. So we've just been hearing about that. Most mining efforts will be reduced to 5 acres or less, as I checked with a number of other mine developers. But then we often ask ourselves, well, how long will even that 5 acres last, since the government seems to be great at changing regulations and changing becomes very consistent. We need, at present, for a larger mine effort, we need to have that 5 acres to be exempt from the larger mining efforts. Why should an effort of 6, 10 acres or more be penalized for trying to keep more men employed? Tom Bunsen at the last mining conference testified how a larger mining effort has a greater expense per unit of product mined. So we do not wish to be prejudiced against. Currently, I am operating and have 26 men operating. I hope to be able to have as many as 45 men working again this summer. And it's quite a juggling act to be able to keep all these people employed, paying all the taxes, all the insurance, and I'll tell you this, if I could get out, I would get out. But having been here for 41 years now, and my roots are down here, I will see this thing through to the bitter end. On private lands, I want to take the exception on this one thing. In 1988, it took my company 10 months to receive a Corps of Engineer permit, on which most of it was about reclamation. So I do not believe that private land mining claims have no reclamation requirements. This is not so. I want to state that I wholeheartedly endorse Commissioner Hines' stipulation on bonding requirements. For example, an out-of-state miner that comes to Alaska, and I know several of them that mine 3 or 4 months out of the year, having no roots down here, they get what they can and they move out. I believe that this sort of operation should have a financial surety behind them, whereas many of us which have been here 30, 40, 50 years or longer have many financial roots down. And of course, each mining endeavor, I believe, must be site specific. I want to thank you very much for this opportunity to be able to come.
Thank you, Mr. May. Next, I'd like to go to Valdez, Patty Saunders. Are you there, Patty?
Yes, I am. Thank you. I was beginning to wonder whether I'd ever get a chance. I'm with Alaska Center for the Environment. I'm an environmental attorney, and I've worked for over a decade with mining issues and other issues. And reclamation is one of the things I know best. I'd like to...
I was wondering, too.
...thank Andy Reynolds, Dick Dunn, and Dave Chambers for their comments, because given the limited time, I'm just going to incorporate their comments into mine, and while I have a lot to say, I'm going to try and be brief. I think the most important thing that hasn't yet been said is that there is a real standard way in which flexibility, which everyone recognizes is necessary, can be built into regulations. It hasn't happened here. Instead of flexibility, we have vagueness. And in the attempt to accommodate both large and small operations, which we have in Alaska, we've completely ignored the greater damage that occurs, for instance, or the greater quantity of damage, I should say, that occurs in a large operation than a small operation. The requirements we have right now do not address large operations at all. And it's questionable whether they really address the smaller ones either, particularly, for instance, 700 $50 bond. But the idea that I want to get across here is that, in my mind, what DNR should have done and did somewhat in its original final set of regulations was to set a standard. And that would be an across-the-board standard from which a miner could get a variance if certain other factors were taken into account that existed on his or her mind that were different, or that somehow precluded the standard that 90% of the mining could meet. And they would still have to come up with an alternative way of meeting that standard. It's the difference between a design and a performance standard. If you set a design standard, or performance standard, excuse me, and you said most people's design will include, for instance, backfilling the hole and regrading and putting topsoil on top of it. Occasionally, there will be a place where that doesn't make sense or can't be done for one reason or another. Instead of abolishing the standard for backfilling, regrading, and replacing topsoil, in most instances, which is what happened in the February draft, I think what should have happened is to include a variance procedure with an enumeration of the factors that would justify that variance and the extent to which a variance could be granted. That would give us and the public a far greater assurance that something, in fact, is going to happen, because right now, the second set of regulations is so vague that I'm really left wondering what it is that DNR is going to be doing with these regulations. I can't imagine that the staff who is assigned the task of reviewing the permit applications that's going to come in will feel like they've been given any guidance whatsoever. And I think that's a mistake, not just because it won't protect the public interest in the environment, but because it's going to hold the permit applications up. The miners aren't going to know really what they're supposed to apply for. They won't know what to include. So I think it's an all-around bad deal. And I'd prefer to see us move back towards the first draft. There may be some general problems with the first, specific problems with the first draft, which could be addressed. But I think that it was a mistake to completely jettison that first draft and have a complete rewrite moving backward toward vague standards that don't really meet the letter of the law. I'd be more than happy to work with DNR on this and show them examples of where this has happened. And I'd like to say, just in conclusion, that flexibility can be achieved, but it can't be achieved by vagueness, and that consistency can be achieved, but that it's a mistake, I think, to go to the lowest common denominator rather than some higher common ground that makes sense for everybody. We are ignoring, in this set of regulations, if they pass as written, Alaska will be ignoring the movement of the nation towards higher standards for reclamation that protect the environment. BLM's regulations have already been mentioned. Montana's and several of the other states have already been mentioned. It's quite clear to me, I'm involved in a national process right now moving the federal government towards Ms. Saunders,
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we have four other people in about 5 minutes, so if you would wrap up, I would appreciate it.
I'm trying. This is my last sentence. I think that if we ignore that process and where the federal government is heading, which is what's happening with these regulations, we are not going to be anticipatory or helping our mining industry. We'll be setting a standard that is so low that there's no way that the federal government will accept it, a Alaskan regulation of mines, and I do think that's a mistake. So I'd encourage us to look at what's going on outside and try to meet those standards rather than going for some lower standard, which is what we have here. I'm sorry that was so disjointed, but I tried to be brief.
Thank you, Ms. Saunders. Roger Burggraft in Fairbanks, are you there, Roger? And then Rudy Vetter. Roger, are you there?
Roger Burggraf. I reside at 830 Sheep Creek Road. I'm a private property owner, mining ground, miner, vice chairman of the Fairbanks branch of the Alaska Miners Association. Mr. Chairman and members of the House Resources Committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Mining industry is not opposed to reclamation. We believe in responsible mining. Reclamation has been required by the Division of Mining for 3 or more years, and for you folks that have had the opportunity to see mining during the last 3-4 years, I think you'll be able to vouch that the mining in the state of Alaska and reclamation of properties has improved 100%, or just about. I support the second draft of the reclamation regs dated February 14, 1991. Second draft more closely follows the letter and the intent of the law. I will second previous comments regarding the need for proper funding to implement reclamation regs. Number 3, performance standards are adequately addressed. There is a need to consider site-specific conditions based on the climate, soil conditions, and other factors. And I feel the Division of Mining is best able to make decisions that are going to allow responsible mining and reclamation. The state bonding pool is very important for the small miner, and I feel there's flexibility in the regs for other means of bonding. I have some concerns about the Administrative Procedures Act, making it inflexible both for the state and the miner. And I have concerns about, you know, the private land. I would like to see more flexibility as far as the private land holder being able to make decisions as to how that land will be used after mining is completed. I think that's about it. I know you're in a hurry. I have lots of other things that I'd like to talk about to you, but do that some other time.
Thank you, Mr. Burggraf. Mr. Benner, are you there already?
Yes, really there. Rudolph Benner, BETTER, PO Box 70342, Fairbanks 99707. I represent myself. I do agree to the second draft, maybe complied with. As the first draft went far too far. There's one point that I would like to talk about here. I believe nowhere in these regulations do we have a right to challenge it. It is decided by the commissioner or some of his people who may be experienced or inexperienced. We cannot challenge the decision. Judge, you may give me some information on this later if you want. There might even be personal animosities involved in some cases. Commissioner Hines' proposals, including binding, I agree with that, and financial responsibility. This may cover the challenge feature I talked about. As I read it, actually what he's saying is tort law. I also agree with his one overall permit for all activities. Judge Peterson is another one questioning regarding prospecting. He can give me some information on that later. I want to compliment Judge and the people who worked with him on this proposition. It was an extensive amount of work, and we appreciate it. I agree with Mr. Stein. I also agree with Don May. Both of them has very good testimony. Don May has done his best and has made some very expensive changes to appease common ground. Most of these people moved into the active mining area, and because it was cheap and had access due to past and present mining, now they complain. And I believe that some of them were
Mr. Benner, would you please wrap up? Please wrap up. I got to get to 2 more people.
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Benner. We've dropped offline in Anchorage, but continue in Fairbanks. Sylvia Wood, are you there, Sylvia?
This is the moderator. The next person is Paul Manuel. I've got one after that. That's it.
Okay, Paul Manuel, please go ahead.
Yeah, my name is Paul Manuel. I'm a miner from the Circle District, and I live in Esther. My PO box is 83102, Fairbanks, Alaska. I support this bill as the February 14th version is. I'm looking at it now. I've done 3 reclamation projects in the past year before they were even required, as Judge Peterson, he sat on the ground and looked at him. I want to say that most of the miners want to do the reclamation because, like Joe Isabelli says, it's the right thing to do. We all live here. Most of us live here. I really support Judge's effort to try to put some common sense into this. I know that's awful tough to do. I'd like to keep it in the version that it is so it can be site-specific. We can change it because not everybody's ground is the same. And I'm hoping that the regulations don't reflect that it's not my backyard attitude that some of these people that have testified. That's about all I have to say.
Thank you. The last person to testify, you have about 60 seconds. Please state your name for the record and continue with your testimony, please.
I'm Nancy Murphy, a member of Common Ground Alaska and a resident of 3754 Frenchman Road, Fairbanks. I'd like to put forth my comments as a resident who has interest in the potential for reclamation regulations to mitigate much of the negative confrontational interactions between miners and residents. I live in an area which is heavily impacted by local mining.
Thank you. Meeting adjourned at 5:26.
Do we get overtime pay for this?
Are you kidding? You don't even get paid, you know that.